Hello, everybody. This is Travis Miller.
And I'm Jimmy V.
And we are on the line with Steve Harrison. Say hi, Steve.
Hi. I'm thrilled to be with you guys.
Oh, man. We're so pleased to have a chance to interview you on the phone. In fact, we've known each other for a couple of years now, and I remember what we met the first time after seeing you speak at a seminar, and your information was so incredibly valuable to us that it stuck with us to this day, and it's really a privilege to be able to speak with you on the line and to share your vast shares of information with the people, you know, the readers of the book and the people listening to this program. It's a privilege for us.
I think it's going to be an exciting opportunity for everyone listening to get insight from a guy like you who's been there, done that, in the trenches. If you're looking to get on national radio and television or generate leads for your business and customers for your business through the media, through publicity, this call is going to pretty much blow you away, because I know the kind of information that Steve is going to share with us, because he's shared a lot of that information with me, and it has made a tremendous difference in our business, so I know it will do the same for you. So, Steve, why don't we start off the call by, you know, you telling everyone who you are and how you got where you are today.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Basically, my brother and I own a company, Bradley Communications, where we provide different services and tools that help people get publicity, whether people are entrepreneurs, authors, marketers. And the way we've kind of fallen into it, so to speak, is about 20 years ago, we launched a magazine, Radio TV Interview Report, that producers read to find guests who are available for interviews. And as a result of that publication, we'd get contacted by people that had books and products. And one of the early clients that we kind of worked with in that publication were Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen with Chicken Soup for the Soul. And then Robert Kiyosaki with, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And that publication and kind of our work in writing them up in the magazine really helped to launch them. They gave us a lot of credit for their success. And the reason is it showed me the power of, essentially, in our publication, we were putting press releases in a catalog form. And we were really doing write-ups selling people, entrepreneurs, authors, to media. And, you know, we learned from that experience just that the power of coming up with the right type of positioning, the right type of headline, the right type of hook. And from that experience, you know, with, like, Robert Kiyosaki started with 3,000 books in his garage and was trying to figure out how to sell them, and came to us, and we got him, by virtue of the different things we were doing with Radio TV Report, got him on lots and lots of radio shows. And, you know, he, as a self-published author, hit the New York Times bestseller list and went from speaking at, like, hotel rooms to speaking in Madison Square Garden, mm-hmm. You know. And so the power of publicity, we've seen it through our clients. We've seen it ourselves, you know, getting written up in Entrepreneur Magazine and being on the front page of Investor's Business Daily and being in the Philadelphia Inquirer and all these. You know, it's really, we've seen miracles happen through publicity and knowing how to get it. And now we do seminars and teleseminars and provide different tools to help people get publicity without having to hire a PR firm. You know, they can be real expensive, and 90% of the people I talk to who hire a publicist are very unhappy. And it's really... It's something you really can do on your own, and I'm looking forward to hearing on this call giving some people some advice and some case histories on what they need to do to get publicity for themselves.
Well, great. I mean, let's talk about that then. Let's talk about what an individual entrepreneur or business owner who, you know, wants to get some publicity for their company and really doesn't want to make that investment in a publicity firm and instead wants to learn to do it themselves. What are some tips you could give them to sort of prepare for the process of getting publicity for their business before they even start the process of doing it?
The first thing you need to realize is that selling to the media is different than selling the product. Okay, the media does not want to buy your product. They are not interested in your service, you know, like a customer is. What they're looking for is a story. They're looking for something, you know, interesting to write about. Now, the good news is that I find anybody can get publicity. I mean, we've helped more than 12,000 entrepreneurs, authors get publicity, and I have never met anybody who couldn't get publicity. And can I give you an example of somebody who like had no right whatsoever to get publicity and did very well?
Sure, I'd love
to
hear it.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
This guy's name is George Papadopoulos, and he had a restaurant in Atlantic City, and on the side he loved playing blackjack.
Uh-huh.
And he'd read books on blackjack, and he kind of developed certain strategy. And, you know, what I always say to, in seminars, I always say to people, look, if you were to see an ad in a newspaper that said, win playing blackjack 78% of the time, guaranteed, you know, how many people would buy that book or that product? And, of course, no, you know, maybe there's one or two hands out of 1,000 that go up, you know, compulsive gamblers, you know. But, but basically, you know, nobody really believes the promise. And, well, George probably is the kind of guy who would have bought that book. And he actually had experience where his girlfriend said, hey, I want to put an e-book out there, and I want to write about something. And he said, well, we got to write about something we know. What should we write about? And he's like, well, I can write a thing about blackjack. And she's like, well, what are you talking about? I mean, you haven't written anything in 30 years. And he just kind of gets his legal pad out and writes a few ideas down. They give it to her sister-in-law, and they take it to a local copy shop, and it's a 24-page pamphlet with staples. I mean, they called it a book, but this is not, you know, to call this thing a book
it's
a pamphlet with staples. Right, yeah, it's a stretch, okay? Well, he comes to me, and he says, hey, how do I market it? And I said, well, you know, you can get free publicity. You can get on radio shows and do interviews. And so the headline that we ran, we actually ran his headline in quotes, win playing blackjack 78% of the time. You know, the quote was, I win playing blackjack 78% of the time, and you can too. Now, he put that in quotes, so it's like a personal story. And people saw him as his character. You know, they didn't necessarily believe the promise, but they thought, let's get this guy on the phone, and we'll either, you know, debate him or you know, let's kind of learn, because he had other bullets, like how to spot a hot table, how to get casino freebies. And this would be a key point for folks listening to this to think about, is you don't want to just say to the media that you can talk about X topic. You want to think about other things related to your topic where you can give advice and insight on. Well, he did over 200 radio interviews, giving out information, giving out his website where people could buy his book, and he was making a six-figure income just doing radio interviews by phone. Then we take his copy, and we just change the headline. Everything else was the same, but the headline now, when the stock market went down the tubes, the headline, we change it to, why playing blackjack is a better investment than the stock market. And he ended up from that copy getting booked on Fox News, where he was the only guest for about 17 minutes, and gave out his, you know, website information. They had him going through a casino, and he did $80,000 in sales from that one appearance. His next interview is Howard Stern. And Howard Stern says to him, hey, George, I wasn't born yesterday. What's all this crap about winning 78% of the time playing blackjack? And George says, well, do you play by the five basic strategies? He says, I didn't know there were five basic strategies. He says, well, maybe that's why you're losing so much, Howard. Howard loves it, you know, and Howard keeps him on, and much longer than he was going to be. He ends up selling over $60,000 of books from that appearance. So, again, this is a guy who, if you think about the premise, it's not something you'd believe as being possible. And at the same time, it's something that, you know, he didn't have all the, there's a number of reasons where he could legitimately talk himself out of trying to get publicity. But he put himself out there, and I always like to ask people, look, you know, do you have something that's more credible than more believable? You know what I mean? You know, and do you have, in his case, he got to the point where he ultimately had about, he had two books about the same size, 24 pages each. So, you know, he was making about $20 for, you know, from off the customer. The point is, are you making more money? Is the customer more valuable to you than $20? And for a lot of businesses, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always tell that story because it's just, you know, anybody can get publicity if you simply know how to give the media what they want.
Mm-hmm. And so give us some ideas about what it is that the media does want.
Well, as I said, they want a good story, and the way you and what they need to position that story is they need a good hook.
Okay.
So, for example, if you think about, you know, if you're flipping through the TV channels, and you see how to be an automatic millionaire on the next Oprah, well, or coming up, what the rich teach their kids about money that the poor and middle class do not. You see how in both cases, those are teasers that get you to stay tuned through the commercials.
So it's sort of like what you see while you're watching the 10 o'clock TV show as the 11 o'clock news is coming up. They throw out these little tidbits that make you want to watch the news. And then, of course, when you get there, it's like those come on at the end of the show. You got to watch through the whole program to get to the hooks they use.
Exactly. Oh. And so the key is to give the producer an idea for what is that line, what is that sentence that they can say that will get people to stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called a hook. And see, a lot of times when people write a press release, they put the title of their book, or they say new product out, helps cure baldness, you see. But that's not nearly as interesting as, you know, does drinking a soda lead to baldness?
Mm-hmm.
Coming up?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You see, so you want to definitely come up with a hook. And in fact, I have a publicity system where we actually give people three manuals and some audio. It teaches people. It's really a do-it-yourself publicity kit.
Uh-huh.
And I give them various examples of different hooks to use. One is to be timely. That's another great thing. You see, a lot of times if you can tie in with something that is timely, I mean, everybody has something that their topic typically has certain times of year where it's on people's minds. And, for example, Pizza Hut gets tons of publicity during the week of the Super Bowl, you know, because it's the food of choice.
Sure.
What I encourage people to do is to think about what is it that you can tie in with in the news or that's, you know, comes up on a regular basis. A good example of this, for example, is Mahesh Grossman is a ghostwriter.
Okay.
And you'd think, well, why would a major TV, national TV show ever want to interview a ghostwriter? I mean, that might be fine for Publishers Weekly or for some, you know, Writer's Digest, but why would they ever want to interview a ghostwriter since most people aren't looking to, you know, have someone write a book for them? It's kind of a specialized thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he came to an event that we do called the National Publicity Summit in New York City where we let entrepreneurs meet directly with top producers, agents, journalists, media. We actually have over 100 major media and agents attend to meet folks. And he met the producer from Fox and Friends. And he because of the training he'd gotten from us, we said, look, how can you tie in with something timely? And at the time, it was the year of the presidential election. And he realized all these candidates have books, and they're all ghostwritten, you know. And he did a little research, and that's a kind of a key thing. Be willing to do a little bit of research. He did a little bit of research about each of these candidates and which ones had actually been very forthright about having a ghostwriter, which ones thanked their ghostwriter, who wrote their books. And he got on Fox News talking about the presidential candidates and their books that had been ghostwritten, and they introduced him as the ghostwriting guru. Well, not only does he get, you know, business and publicity and people going to his website for that, but now on his website forever is the phrase, you know, Fox News calls him the ghost writing guru. So that's another key benefit of publicity, is that when you can show people the publicity you've received and quote it, now people feel a lot more comfortable buying from you because they feel like, wow, you know, even though maybe his prices are more expensive than these other people I'm finding on the internet, if Fox News calls him the guru, he's the one I want to use.
That's right, yeah. Well, Steve, what are some of the other benefits that people can get from appearing in the media?
One of the things that most people don't realize is, you know, obviously you're getting free airtime, free print time. I mean, you know, rather than having to have spent, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for a 30-second spot, you're getting it for free.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something else that happens, and that is that it's actually more credible. People believe what they see in the editorial, or what they get suspicious of advertising, or tend to just flip the channel. Publicity, they trust it. The other thing is it multiplies. You know, when you run an ad somewhere, even if it's a good ad, no one calls you up and says, hey, Jimmy, I really like your ad. Can we run this for free in my publication?
You know? Oh, no. I've never had that one.
I wish.
You get calals from people who want to rerun your ad, but there's a fee, right?
Yeah. You do get a lot of calls, that's for sure, but it's not for free.
So, but what's great is with publicity, you do get, hey, I saw, you know, we saw you, we'd like to do a story, we'd like to interview you, mm-hmm. we'd like to have you speak. And so it multiplies and multiplies and multiplies.
I see.
And that's really a great power of it. The other thing, I was talking to an entrepreneur yesterday and who had a T-shirt business,
mm-hmm.
and she got one article for her T-shirt business. But then she went to other, you know, media and other people that she wanted to have give her exposure, and she said, here's this article we just got. Would you like to do an interview with us? And, of course, you know, people said, oh, whoa, this is a real recent article. This person, everyone's talking about this business. Yeah, we'd like to do it. So she parlayed that one article. Ultimately, she parlayed it into 30 other articles.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You know, so that's a big thing, is to leverage the publicity that you get as well.
And that's something that the press is really into. They really want to jump on the bandwagon when they see someone gets press. It kind of gives them a little credibility, and they say, okay, well, then they must be a good some kind of story there.
Yeah, I mean, I think a good way, you know, one thing I would say is that in a lot of ways, publicity is really like the ultimate joint venture marketing. You know. And like, for example, I mean, you know, Dr. Phil, I mean, Oprah, she's getting sued by the beef industry. She ends up, hiring his company to, you know, for advice during the lawsuit. And she's just struck by his, you know, tell it like it is style, and, ends up, you know, saying, hey, why don't you come on my show? So he then did something which was smart. He went and did the show. He didn't say, oh, I'm not ready, I don't have a book, let me wait. You know, he just kind of took the plunge. And he got on there, and he did a really good job. And he got invited back, which is another, you know, key thing, is you want to get invited back. So when you get on a show, you want to do so well that they have you back, they ask you back. And, in fact, not only then from that platform do you become a regular guest and a best-selling author, but he did so well that she even offered him, you know, his own show.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's amazing what these things can lead to. But I think the big thing that holds people back is they just think, well, I can't really do it. It's publicity is for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I just find that when people decide to go ahead and try and put themselves forward, you don't have to be the foremost expert, but anybody who's been working in what they do for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
you know, knows more than I do about what they do. You know, I mean, I don't know anything about auto repair or mortgages or credit repair or insurance, and so, you know, you've got information that could help.
Mm-hmm.
Another hook formula that I would suggest to people to think about is, what is a trend that you see? What is a trend that you see more and more people doing, or fewer and fewer people doing? The media love trends. They love to be able to say, you know, this expert says more men are eating bananas for this reason or that reason. You see what I'm saying? Whatever the trend is,
sure.
they like to be able to report that.
Hmm. That's interesting. Tell us some other stories, Steve, about sort of interesting successes or amazing successes you've seen come of a result of publicity.
Well, you know, a really famous example is this guy starts this internet business, and Josh Koppelman starts this internet business, and ends up, it's called half.com.
Okay.
And what they did was they persuaded a tiny town in Oregon to, it was like a population of like 100 people. The town was called Halfway, Oregon. And they said, hey, look, we'll give you a couple tractors, and, you know, they gave them something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like, we'll give you a couple things if you will vote to name the town half.com. They then sent out a press release and said, for the first time, this is right back in the, you know, internet heyday, where they said, okay, now for the first time, a town has named itself a .com. And they got tons of publicity, Wall Street Journal, the Today Show, and as a result, boy, the price escapes me. I have to, but he sold for many, 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 many millions of dollars to eBay.
Right?
You know, yeah. All because he had created that buzz. So you know, it's amazing what can happen.
How about some tips about reaching out to the media and actually, you know, how to get in touch with them, who to get in touch with, is a way to get in touch with them.
I mean, is there a wrong way to do it and a right way to do it?
Well, sure. As I said, the biggest mistake is not to even try. The first thing you want to do is I've interviewed hundreds of media. And what I find is that there's two things they all tell me. Their biggest complaint is that people want to get on their show and the people never, ever watch the show. So, you know, it's like pitching, you know, the Tonight Show on doing having a cookbook author do a cooking demonstration. Just, it's like, you know, that's not their format, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's their one complaint. Their second thing is they prefer to get pitched by email.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
ooh, really?
We're often on deadline, writing a very short, to-the-point email is what I'd recommend. Couple tips on that. First of all, for radio and TV, you're typically going after the producer of the show. That's the decision maker. For print publications, usually it's the editor of a section, whether the business section or the lifestyle section. But I also like to, frankly, I'll give you an example. I was reading Philadelphia Inquirer one day, and I saw that somebody had written up an entrepreneur who had a magazine. And it was in the video industry.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd written up this magazine, and so I contacted – I saw the name of the person, you know, who had written the article. And I contacted him and said, hey, I love the story you wrote about this entrepreneur who created this magazine. Your readers might be interested in another magazine on a totally different topic that's also published by some local entrepreneurs, and I then told him about our Radio TV interview report.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he responded because I was, you know, able to say, Mike, R-E, you know, your article on, and then I was really giving him a tail. He saw that I read what he did.
Yes.
And most people, 99% of people do not approach the media in this kind of just, you know, personalized way.
Well, surely, in the words of Robert Collier, I mean, you entered in the conversation already going on inside this guy's head.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was giving him an idea for a story. See, here's the great thing is, you know, when we were dating, we always wish we knew the magic words to say to the girl to have her be interested in us or what to do. You know, there's always that challenge of reading their mind. But with the media, you don't have to read their mind because they produce shows, they publish, you know, columns, stories. And you can just see what they – if you read a journalist, you read what he's written, four or five different stories, you get a sense of what he covers and
mm-hmm.
what he likes to do. And so now you can figure out his formula. Or if you watch a national TV show two or three times, you start seeing the formula.
Mm-hmm.
They like to do makeover segments, or they like to do just quick, short interviews, one-on-one, or they like to have really emotional stories that affect an entire family and have various experts. And my point is you can then go to them and say, hey, here's an idea. And you can give them some of the elements that you would provide and even suggest some other people they could interview perhaps to even round out the segment.
Very, very interesting. What would you say to a person, like an entrepreneur, business owner, who for some reason had the mindset that they weren't worth featuring on the media or that their story wasn't interesting enough. What would you tell them?
It's a great question. Well, one thing I would say is that we're all so close to what we do. You know, we're bored with what we do long before, you know, other people are. I mean, what we do every day is miraculous to someone who doesn't know, you know, has never set foot in that kind of that field. So I would really focus on, you know, are you getting asked questions by people? Do people feel like you help them? Well, then you have something valuable. And I wouldn't start by pitching Oprah, but I would start local. I would go to your local newspapers and magazines, like Brian Sachs is a mortgage broker.
Mm-hmm.
And had a mortgage business, and he was in Baltimore. And, you know, you get called every day by people, and what's their question? They all are saying, you know, hey, what's your rate? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then they hang up the phone, and they call somebody else. So they've really become, you know, he'd become a commodity. And he said, you know, what I realized, I had to position myself as an expert.
Sure.
I had to have it so that people didn't just see me as a salesman or as a vendor, but as an expert. So he joined a local trade organization, and he began making some contacts with newspapers and magazines and radio, started doing radio interviews. And you know, I'm talking about tiny stations in the beginning. But was then invited to appear again and again, and ultimately got his own show, became a regular on TV, talking not just about mortgages, but actually about credit-related issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, has just really used all that positioning to build a very successful practice.
Well, you talk about becoming an expert, and that's what Brian did. And we talk an awful lot in the book about developing your expertise or becoming an authority, becoming someone that other people revolve around, you know what I mean? Because that's part of, you know, let's face it, gravitational marketing is about attracting customers. And in order to attract people, you have to give them some reason to be attracted. And one of the quickest and easiest ways to do that is to be to position yourself as an expert. So what kind of advice do you have for somebody who is, by the way, I think that a lot of people are reluctant to do so. So if someone's read the book, they've listened to a couple interviews, now they're listening to this, what advice would you give to someone who is hesitant or reluctant about positioning themselves as an expert or an authority?
I would say you first do have to decide to start declaring it. I mean, you have to start saying, I help people blank. You don't have to say I'm the foremost expert or I'm the top expert. Now, it'd be great if you can create a category where you're the only expert who has done this. You know, you can kind of define it in a way where, but the point is to start, start teaching people what you know.
Mm-hmm.
Have a free seminar for your clients and get through it. teach them. Write an article for a trade publication or for your local newspaper,
mm-hmm.
and say, "Hey, I've got an article here that I think would be of interest to folks." Create a blog. There's different things you could do. It's more of a mindset than anything else. I mean, certainly the things you could do, you write articles and create a blog, or just in your communication with customers now, start an email, newsletter where you're letting them know, giving them some tips, some things that you've learned, share other people, recommend. You can also be like a Napoleon Hill, who was like a reporter, who interviewed people, author of Think and Grow Rich. You can interview people and then share that information.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a conduit there as well. And the key is to really decide that you are going to be someone who has information that is helpful, and that you're going to give some of that information away in whatever form, online, or over the phone like I'm doing here, mm-hmm. Or by speaking. You're going to give it away knowing that good is going to come back to you, and that people aren't going to just see you as some salesperson, but as an expert. And as you do that more and more, there's a day that soon dawns. You say, hey, you know what? I am an expert in this. So now let me become a even more knowledgeable and even better expert than
sure.
I am.
Steve, let me ask you, what's the question that I did not ask you here that I should have?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. I'll have to remember that for when I'm interviewing people.
I actually picked that up. I have to give credit for it. I actually picked that question up earlier this week in an interview that Scott Allen from About.com was doing with us.
Oh, I love it.
And I said the same thing. I said, I got to use that.
So, so am I the first that you've used it on, or have you been doing other interviews this
week? No, you're the first I've used it on. You're the first.
Wow. I think probably you've done a really good job, I have to say. Usually with interviews, I have an answer for that. I think that probably a good question that would serve everybody would be what are the biggest mistakes people make when it comes to, we talked briefly about trying to, most people write a press release and they just make it like it's selling the product rather than a story or a show idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think another mistake that that people make is that when they do interviews, we didn't really talk about how to turn interviews into sales.
Oh, that's a big one. Yeah, that's big. Okay,
yeah.
That's a good one.
I know that's all about what you guys are about, generating leads and whatnot. And what people need to do is you do need to have a website with a memorable name. So when I was written up in Black Entrepreneur Magazine, it's Steve Harrison of freepublicity.com. Now, we have different websites for different purposes, and basically that's what I give out. But people need to have an easy-to-spell URL,
mm-hmm.
And that makes sense, that has a benefit to it. So that's a key tip. The other thing that those people don't realize is that, like when you do a TV interview, you have some control over what they put in what's called the chyron, you know, the what people see.
Mm-hmm.
So they can either put your book title. If somebody were to put if somebody just puts the name of your company, well, maybe that's good, maybe that's not. You know, if they just put mortgage expert, that doesn't help you.
Yeah, no, not really.
But if they put, you know, freemortgageadvice.com, that's
uh-huh.
really great. You
sure.
See? So there's that.
You know, a client of ours recently, who is actually a member of one of our training programs, is in the mortgage industry, and using some techniques that we taught him, which are, by the way, basic compared to the knowledge that you have, but it just goes to show how easy it really is to pull off. He wound up on an interview with Neil Cavuto on Fox News, and now, by the way, because he went once, he's been back, what, 3 or 4 times afterwards.
Yeah, they just ask him back all the time.
Yeah,
great.
And what's funny is he didn't even really do that great of a job. I mean, and he'd be the first to admit it. You know, he's a nice guy, but Cavuto threw him. Yeah, he was nervous, and Cavuto threw him a curveball, and wasn't the question that they told him they were going to ask him, and he had to shuffle through his notes, but he ended up getting asked back anyway. But when the next time I saw him in person, after I saw this, after I saw the stickers, in fact, he let us know that he was going to be on it, so I recorded it on my DVR and then watched it to give him some feedback and help him. I wanted to wrestle him to the ground because he didn't give out his website, you know, which was a lead capturing website offering a free book that I think that thousands of people probably would have wanted if he had offered it, but he didn't. He just let him say the name of his company, and he happened to be, you know, a loan officer for a much larger, like a national or a regional company. So, you know,
right.
They don't need any extra publicity. He's the one who needed the publicity.
Yeah, there you go. So he hadn't given thought to how he was going to be introduced.
Yeah,
which is, you know, really key. And you have a lot of say. And now the key thing is to do a good job, to tell, you know, to be really help them put the show together, be up and you know that you're looking forward to. But when you get to the studio, you say, hey, you know, what's my chyron going to say? And
mm-hmm.
can you be sure to introduce me as the author of this? And, you know, a lot of times a station, even if they won't put a URL out, they'll at least say his free book is available at our Fox News website, you know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, right.
It's an important thing to think about. The other thing that people don't do is they don't really tell stories. They don't think about what is it that people need to hear in order to buy what I'm selling. So, for example, you know, Hector Seda is a client of mine, and giving him some advice. And his business is where he helps people who are planning like a home addition. He consults with them to be able to keep an eye on the contractor, to know so they're not getting taken advantage of.
Right.
Well, if he's doing that interview, you know, whether it's radio or TV, he needs to be sure that there are stories being told of nightmare situations in which poor, you know, average people have just been totally ripped off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And because that's really what's going to be what's going to get people to go to his site and find out about him now as the solution. So it's a whole, you know, problem, agitate, solve, it's really true when you do interviews. And
absolutely.
A lot of times people just start giving advice out without telling some stories to agitate the problem.
Good point. Excellent advice. I got to tell you, Steve, this has really been great. I think we've had some good discussion here, and you've shared some excellent advice. So let me ask you this. If I'm a person listening to this, I'm saying, okay, I like the sound of this, and I like Steve. He sounds like a nice guy.
I'd like to get some
free
publicity.
It's all an act. I've just been doing it a long time.
Yeah, and by the way, that's a great point. Someone says, I'd like some free publicity, which who wouldn't, right? What can they do to get more information from you, learn more about this process?
Well, if they go, I put together a special page for your folks with just chock full of free resources,
mm-hmm.
Free information. They can, for example, get 2 free sample publicity pitches. They can get a free teleseminar with a former Oprah guest booker on getting TV publicity, and they can get more information about what we do. If they go to freepublicity.com/info42.
Okay, info42. That's where they'll find all the resources.
info42. Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to have a link right here underneath this interview. if you're listening to this on the gravitybook.com website, so you can just click the link below this interview, and you'll be whisked away to a world of free publicity riches down there, where you can get download all this free stuff provided to you by Steve. And I can tell you, I've gone through much of Steve's material, and it's you're going to get a lot of value. You're going to it'll suck you down into a rabbit hole, and you'll want to get on press in the press all the time.
Yeah, Jim's thinking about just taking an apartment out at the Fox studio here. Hey, Steve, thanks so much for spending your time with us and, more importantly, with the readers of Gravitational Marketing and sharing your insights with them. It really means a lot to us.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate the opportunity.
Wonderful. It's been our pleasure.